I was seeking the Lord during the week as regards what to share this morning, and I just felt he really wanted to. Well, first of all, I do feel that it is going to be a year of acceleration. I do believe that it's going to be a year of a fast ride. Amen? Does anyone else believe that? God has got great things for us. That's what he's been speaking about to me. And yet there's a question, does it automatically come? I believe he's looking for a response from us as regards whether we want it, whether we're going to step up and say, yeah, I want it. I want to go for it. Now, I'm going to share this morning one or two things about myself, okay? I don't like doing that. That's why some of these things you don't know about me, okay? But when I was wrestling with it, because I feel uncomfortable with it about myself, okay? I feel really uncomfortable and I just was struggling with it. So the Lord actually said to me, there's one thing that I've built into my life, okay, as a pattern of life that I wouldn't have ever heard about or adopted into my life if I hadn't heard someone else testify as regards it. I mean, firstly, I believe that if we're going to step into this acceleration, in other words, get on the escalator of what God's doing, I believe there are going to have to be two things, primarily. Two things. We're going to have to, and this is our choice, choices. Just like whether you step on the escalator or not. Choice. The word and prayer. Word and communication with him. The word that jumped out of me when I was seeking him was Psalm 91 and verse 4. It talks about, in some translations, the armor of his word. And I thought, the word is like a protection to me. It's a security to me. It's basically everything to me that I need. It's everything that I need. Without more prayer and intimacy with him, and without more word built into me, I ain't going anywhere, folks. I ain't going anywhere. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. When Jesus was tempted in the desert, he said, "It is written." You can't say that unless it's built into you. Unless you've taken the time to put the word inside you. The word of God, it says in John chapter 1, it says the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The more you take in of the word inside you, the more you take in of him. When I first became a Christian, I automatically just, not everybody does, I suppose, but I had the desire to spend time with him. I'd get up on a morning, I'd pray in tongues for an hour, and I'd spend time then in his word. No matter what time I had to get up. It's something that I've just built into my life. Even when I was working, say, at the NEC in Birmingham, and you've got to leave at 6 o'clock, I still get up and make sure I have that time with God to build the Word of God into my life. The Word of God is our bread, our spirit inside us needs feeding just like our human bodies do. It needs feeding. It needs that word, that nourishment inside us. There's something about the word of God that nothing else can give us. There's something about the word of God that brings us that nourishment and that food for growth that we need. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Unless I take in and hear the word of God, I don't grow in that level of faith and confidence. When you read the Bible, have you noticed? If he says that he loves you, what does it do to you? What effect does it have on your life? How does it affect you as you hear that? It encourages you, doesn't it? It lifts you. And so this word has to become something that takes the most prominent place in our life. This Bible is made up, as I've said many, many times before, of basically two covenants, primarily. Testament is another name for a covenant. If you're a lawyer, I don't know whether we've got Frank here. Nowadays, we have covenants that are in writing. They're actually sealed with a signature. At one time, they used to have wax, and they'd have a ring, and they'd put the seal in it. These covenants were actually sealed in blood. The new covenant is sealed with the blood of Jesus. The old covenant was sealed with the blood of animals. So, this word is his covenant and relationship with us. So why wouldn't I want to get in this word to learn all about him? To get to know this person that says he loves me. Something that I just choose myself, that I will not eat food on a morning until I've taken of the word of God, until I've actually spent time with him. It's something I've practiced for a few years. When I get up on a morning, I go for my time with him. And one thing he's just challenged me with in the past few days is, stop taking your phone with you into your time with me. You're leaving the door wide open for anybody to intervene with your intimacy with him. It's a bit like your honeymoon night, isn't it? Leaving the bedroom door open at the hotel. I'm serious. Anybody ring and interrupt and ping and what have you, another text come in, what would your husband or your wife think about that? Well, I mean, you know, my mate might want to come and see me. And this morning I realised as I was having time with him, that I realised I'd got the phone in there and I'd forgotten all about it because of the fact that we actually adapt these habits within our lives, don't we? And they're hard to break sometimes. I'd just forgotten it were there. But, you know, I'll work on that and I will not let interruptions come in between my relationship with him and my connection with him on a morning. That's something that he's just challenged me with. Who wouldn't want to have such an unbroken intimacy with the God that we've come to know. This God that we've come into relationship with him. Is that right? If we believe that this person is as powerful as what he is, and he loves us as much as what he says he does, why wouldn't we want that special place with that person where we'll shut out everything else? So yes, we're heading for acceleration. We're heading for a roller coaster. But will it come automatically? I believe it'll come to those who choose to actually say, yeah, I want to get on this escalator. I want to get on this fast ride. I want to be a part of it. I don't want to be left behind when you start to move, Lord. I don't want to be left behind when we start moving into great things. Karen was going to share this morning as regards the wise and foolish virgins. She'd had it on her heart for a few weeks, I think, since John Arnott mentioned it. I mean, really, that picture talks about choices. And as John Arnott said, mentioning that they're virgins, you're talking about Christians. Some will choose to want to run after the oil. Some will choose to want to do what God calls them to do, and others won't. Is it compulsory, this? No. Does God still love you if we don't do it? No matter where we are, he's saying to us, I want you to come closer. I got more for you. I've got a bigger ride for you. I've got a deeper relationship for you. Come on. I want you to step up with me. There is an intimacy with God to run after. And it won't just happen. He won't impose it upon people that don't show the signs of hunger, don't show the signs of they really want it. If you want it, he's saying, though, you can have it. If we not draw near to God, he says he will draw near to us. That's his promise, isn't it? But it's a choice. It's a choice. Does he still love us? Yeah. When I got up this morning, I felt he gave me an example of this choice. Okay? And that was, imagine Joe Glover. Okay? Imagine it. Well, you don't have to, because he's actually sat here, isn't he? You can see him, all right? You know, and people start, you know, saying, well, Joe, you drive a little bit fast when you're coming home from work. And he says, well, you know, I want to spend some time with Eli before he goes to bed and what have you. That's his choice. As Eli grows up, he'll still love him, even if he misses him and he's in bed when he gets there. Okay? It's his choice. He has that desire within him. And then this idea progressed. Okay? Eli was 16. Okay? And all of a sudden, Joe found out that 4 strikers at Liverpool were all injured. And they were playing at the San Siro on the Wednesday night. And he gets the message on Monday morning. Eli, who's just joined the academy up there, is actually in the team. Now, Joe doesn't have to go to the San Siro, okay, to watch his boy play. Eli will still love him, okay? He'll probably buy him still probably a decent present at Christmas. You know, he'll be on probably 20, 30 grand a week or something like that or whatever if he's got into the first team at Liverpool. Maybe even more. So you might get a pretty good present, actually, Joe. Okay? But you don't have to go to the San Siro, okay? All right? You don't have to go. And it's the same with us, okay? We don't have to connect with God on a morning. We don't have to walk in this communion with him. Smith Wigglesworth was asked once, he says, somebody said to him, they said, how much time do you spend in prayer? He said, oh, about 20 minutes. He says, what? A man like you? Only 20 minutes a day? He says, no. He says, you don't understand. He says, I pray for about 20 minutes, but he says, I rarely go more than 20 minutes without talking to God again. Choice. You make your choice. How many people did he see raised from the dead? Lots. Okay? 17 of them were actually certified. Okay? Certified. Paperwork to prove it. How did he get it? Through walking close with God. So we're going this year for acceleration. We're going for a roller coaster ride with God. But if you get on board, I think as Shine mentioned, don't be a spectator. Let's get in there. Are you going to the, would you go to the San Siro, Joe? But I mean, you see, the thing is, your dad don't have to go. He don't have to go. There's no compulsion. You know, even though flights were nearly all booked up, but there's one leaving Glasgow at 6 o'clock in the morning, so we're all leaving at 10 or 11 o'clock at night or whatever to get up there, check in or whatever, and he'll let us stay up all night. All the tickets have sold out, okay? But we've heard about a few that's going, you know, for a high price, I mean, on the black market, and we know where we can get them and what have you, but he doesn't have to spend that money and he doesn't have to go, all right? It's not compulsory. Is that a good example? About choices. We have a choice whether we want to be a part of this. Eli will still love him if he don't go. Okay? No, he says no. He'll still buy you a good present at Christmas, maybe, on that sort of salary. But, thank you, Jesus. But, yeah. We are going somewhere with God. He's got great things for us in 2019. And I also saw this picture of when I get up on a morning and I go to have time with him, it's like hitching my trailer up to his vehicle. Where are you going today, Lord? What are you doing? I want to go where you go. I want to do what you are doing. I want to say what you want to say. I don't want you leaving without me. I don't want walking through this day without a connection with you and being hitched up to all that you've got and whatever it is you're doing. It is about a choice. It's about a choice of whether we do hitch up with him as he starts to move. Smith Wigglesworth also prophesied that, and this was in 1947, that the big outpouring, there will be a massive, bigger than bigger, outpouring of God. And that will be when the people of the Word and the people of the Spirit come together. But I believe he's calling us to be a people that want more of the Spirit and want more of the Word anyway. That's going to be our diet this year. This is what we're going to run after. We want you, God. We want all that you're doing. We want to be part of all that you're going to do on this planet Earth. Because I'm telling you, folks, it's going to be big. It's going to be good. It's going to be exciting. And it's going to be better than being in the San Siro, Joe. But he ain't going to take anybody with him that don't want it. You don't have to. You can be like those that Shine said. You can stand and watch it all going on. Otherwise, you can make your mind up that you're going to be a part of it. Now, Christmas is a good time for family, for getting together with family and with friends. Karen and I had a great time. We had an easy Christmas. Because normally, at our house, we cook for many people. If we get people coming from Yorkshire or whatever, you might be cooking for days. And a lot of work. And we just went, did Karen and I, to our daughters this year, watching the little children open their presents. In fact, the youngest one, he couldn't open his presents, so he'd bring them to me and I would help him. He wanted some help to open them up. And isn't that fun? Isn't things like that just make the best part of Christmas? Eh? But for some people, Christmas is a difficult time. Christmas is a time when they think of the past and they've got memories. Memories that are good, and some memories that sometimes trigger some pain. Some memories that you try to push away, but they don't go away sometimes. And I believe that God wants to set you free from that pain. As we move into all the goodness of God and we take that step up into a new place with him. For some people, there are some bags and baggage that he wants to say to you this morning. Don't get on the escalator with those bags. Don't get on the escalator or the roller coaster or whatever your picture is of it with all them bags, holding on to them. For some of us, start of a new year, we actually think about, well, the world does anyway, New Year's resolutions. And we think about, well, what's in store for us for this year? Tell you what, folks. The 2019 will be a lot lighter and a lot easier to follow God in this move, having dropped some of the baggage, dropped some of the pain, dropped some of the disappointment, In fact, even better, drop it all. That's what he's saying to you today. He's saying, come with me. But it's going to be a hard road, carrying some of that baggage, carrying some of that pain. It's a hard road. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. There are people in here that pain just triggers our emotions and makes us realize that there is unforgiveness. Your friend has let you down. A loved one has spoken harshly to you. Someone who you expected really to be a loving, caring blessing to you weren't there for you. It's time to forgive. It's time to let it go. A good sign of unforgiveness there often is areas of judgment. When we judge one another, when we criticize one another, it's a good sign. Doctor comes in and examines you and, you know, checks your blood pressure, what have you. It's gone sky high. Gives him a bit of a guide of what's going on with you. Criticism and judgment can be a good guide. That in the heart, there is unforgiveness. And so, and also, it talks about, to save time, I ain't going into it now. But in James it talks about where there's judgment, there's no mercy. When Moses discussed with God, unless you go up with us, and he's having this interaction with him, and then he said, you know, show me the greatest attribute to you. What is the greatest part of you, God? What is the most weighty thing about you? It varies a little bit in the different translations of the Bible, but it's his mercy. It's his mercy. And when we judge, we have an absence of that mercy. It's absent from our hearts. It's a sign of that mercy being absent. And it's the most weighty attribute of God that comes out of his love, that comes out of his compassion for you and I. So let's press into 2019, shaking off some of these things that have been too heavy at times to carry, the worry, the anxiety. We've often not seen as worry as sin, but it is. Because it's not really trusting in this love that God has for you. It's not really believing that he loves you that much to take care of every single thing. Many of you heard my testimony from back in October when I said to the Lord, I said to him, I think it was on the Monday, Lord, I want a new wardrobe. I don't mean the physical structure of it. I meant the contents. And 2 days later, this was when we were up at Collier's Wood for the PIH conference. I noticed across the road from our hotel, there's a big notice there in this one of these monstrosity Marks and Spencers, you know, up to 70% discount. And so on the Wednesday, I went in there at lunchtime and to have a look, and the 70% sign had come down. So I asked around, and some of you know this story, and I asked this lady, where's the sale items? Well, there's only a few little bits left, and we've put them next to the till. So I went down there, and I thought, oh, they're nearly all bikinis. And then I noticed just one or two pairs of men's trousers. And there were three pair, I mean, that fit me. And I paid £10.60 for all three. And the original price has totaled £110. And they got very little else left. And there were the colours in which I'd asked God for as well. They were the ones I'd asked for. Now, what I'm saying is this, that Karen's actually said to me that I've got too many shirts. So in other words, what she's saying is, you've got to get rid of some of the others before you can really should have any more. Because you ain't going to fit them in that wardrobe. She reckons I've got 100. I've argued with her. I don't think there is 100. Pardon? Well, I counted the short sleeve ones this morning. That were 35. So, because I didn't believe it, there were 100. So, where am I going with this? This is what God's saying to you. You've got to get rid of some of the other things to take on the new. Before I fill your heart, before I fulfill your aspirations, if you like, fulfill what I'm doing with my people, okay, I want you to get rid of some things. I want you to lay some things down. For all of us, it'd be different. For me, it'll be leaving the mobile phone out of my time with him. That'll be the first one. He'll probably have a lot more for me. Okay? But for you, it'll be something different. It'll be something that's hindering you going deeper with him, going to another level of relationship with him. But I mean, just like Joe, choice. You don't have to go to the Sansira. Okay? You don't have to step into that intimacy. But if you're hungry and you do want more of God, you'll clear the wardrobe for something new that's coming. Let's just stand, shall we?